Thank God for our children. Our oldest girl was struck by a car last week, and she survived that. Obviously, she's here with us today, and thank God for His mercy. I have known the Lord Jesus for close to 11 years now. My wife has known Christ for about 50 years. She was brought up in a Christian home. Went to assembly on the far south side of Chicago at Great Gospel Hall. When we were married close to 8 years ago, we both felt that God was calling us to some kind of full-time ministry, some kind of full-time service. We, however, felt that this ministry was somewhere in this country. Our thinking was limited. Our thinking was provincial. We had no inkling that God would be calling us to serve Him in a foreign country. As far as we were concerned, the needs in this nation were so desperate, so demanding, that our presence was necessitated here. The needs in this country are desperate. The needs in this country are demanding. I'm convinced that the total collapse of our nation is inevitable unless there is a vibrant spiritual revival from God. But God has something else in mind for us. I went to the Mayor's Bible School a few years ago. Very difficult for me when I went to the Mayor's. I was married, I was a father, I worked a full-time job. And I went to the mayor because I wanted to go and I had a thirst to be exposed to the Word of God, to develop my skills in handling accurately the Word of God. And it was a great cost to be paid, and my wife paid the greatest cost because I was gone many a day. But I thank God for my wife. If it was not for her, I would not be the man that I am today, and I surely would have been to the mayor's Bible School. Now, while I was at the mayor's, I was introduced to missions. Now, let me qualify that by saying I have heard about missions prior to going to the mayor's. Everything that I heard about it, missions prior to going to the mayor's was negative. I was told that the day of missions was over. This was stated clearly to me, emphatically, and in no uncertain terms. The day of missions is over. Thus, when I went to a man's Bible school, I had no missionary vision. But I found something totally different when I got there. School is very mission-minded, which is good. It has a global outlook, and that's good because God's perspective is global. And I was in a chapel, and Mr. David Allison was giving a presentation on the needs of Christian workers in Malawi, Africa. But it was during this chapel that the Spirit of God began to deal with me about serving him in a foreign field. And I was amazed at that. So the Spirit of God, while I was at Emmaus, showed me that mission, or better yet, serving him in a foreign country was his will for me. Now, I have a tendency to get excited about the things of God. So I went home, I was all excited. I was, oh, honey, we have to go to Africa to serve the Lord. Well, she was very disconcerted, appalled, and a host of other adjectives that I could use to describe her reaction. But that's all right. That's all right. I had knew from some old counsel that a godly brother had given me when I first got saved, and he felt that God was calling me to our full-time service. He said, "Neely, a preacher's wife is in need of an extra." And any sister that is a wife of a full-time, a man that's a full-time minister, exactly what I'm talking about. But Jesus wants to be made of. So God began to deal with Stephanie began to see that serving God in the foreign field was the call of God upon her life as well as mine. So we eventually were shown by God that the Paul synagogue was the place where he was going to serve him. Time would not permit me to go into all of the details that was involved in how God progressively led us to see clearly that synagogue was the place where he would have us to be, and how we continue to develop a deep burden for the Muslim world, the world of Islam. We've heard quite a bit about the Muslim world and constantly in Egypt. This has been in the past weekend as a case in point, where Shiite Muslims are involved. There are 800 million Muslims in the world today. They are lost. They are lost. Yet let that sink in. They are lost. They are dying and going to hell. There are many Muslims today in the cabin of the day. Many of them are there without ever hearing the Queen's gospel. And I'm aware of the 800 million Muslims in the world today. There are 3 billion people in the world today that are without Jesus Christ, that have not heard the gospel. One man said that every time you feel your pulse, somebody dies and goes to hell. Now, I don't say these things to inform pessimism, but there is something that must be done. What action ought Christians to take in 1985 and beyond in light of the Lord Jesus Christ's all-encompassing authority? This morning, we're going to talk a little bit more about it. I submit to you that we are commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to take certain issues, to take certain actions on something. It is the care out of these actions, these orders, that reflect our priority, our spirituality, and that determine whether the Lord Jesus will make an impact upon our generation through us. We are the only means that he has to transform the world. He has no other plan. I have often wondered why God committed the task of world evangelization to men. You know why I wonder? Because the church in 2,000 years has failed to evangelize the world. You know, when they came up with this new Pope, that the Pope mentioned, said, we're going to get this new Pope out to every major city of the world in 6 weeks' time. And you know they did it. They're talking about how it changed all over the world. And in 6 weeks' time, that was a concerted effort. That was vision. That was allocation of funds, because these people believed that getting this product out was important. 6 weeks in 2,000 years, the church, the body of Christ, has failed to evangelize the world. As I say, I do not say these things in pessimism, but the church is going to have to rise up off of a stool of indifference and be silent before her. What are we to do? There are certain things that we have to do that we must do. Right, I realize that Bethany is a mission-minded assembly, but the people of God need to be reminded as much as they need to be informed. Our brother read here in the scripture, the Matthew 28, verse 18 to 10. And in the text, our Lord Jesus is risen bodily from among the dead. He's on the other side of death, the resurrection side of the tomb, on the glory side of the cross. And he comes to his disciples with what again on these verses today. What does he say? He comes up to them and he says, all of all, he has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This phrase is a very fundamental question. What is the thought? And that was discussed earlier this afternoon, but I'm going to give you my version of what authority is, and it's very similar to the definition that our brother gave this morning. First of all, let me stress this and say, in the King James Version primarily, there were two Greek words that were translated power in the King James Version. There was exuos, I believe, and there was dunamis. Now, the Greek word here is exuosa. What does it mean? It is, first of all, correctly translated authority. And authority is the right to exercise power. The right to exercise power, and the power in this case happens to be omnipotent. Jesus comes to his disciples and tells them, God the Father has given me the legitimate right, the title, to exercise omnipotence. This is the basis of all missionary and evangelistic endeavors. How else could a bunch of poor peasants who didn't have any economic or political clout reach the world for Christ? They were commanded by a person who had all power. That's how they were able to do it. Because you have the right to exercise power. You have authority to give things. You have authority to give out eternal life. You have the authority. Authority is given to the Lord by God the Father, who is from heaven and earth. Authority is absolute and undeterred. Therefore, he says, boldly, therefore, in view of the fact that I have all authority, I want you to go. Now, there is only one command, one imperative in these verses. That's to make disciples. The going, the baptizing, the teaching, and the original text are promises. The baptizing, and the teaching contribute to the overall process of discipleship. That's the sole imperative in the Great Commission. But we do not want to underestimate the force of the word go. It literally is as you go. It's almost as if the Lord Jesus Christ says, I know you're going to go. I know you're going to do that because I have sent you. He says, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. That was the burden of Isaiah 6. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? As you go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is all the hope for mankind, there are people in this today that have never heard the gospel. Come on, I mean. Come on now. That's not fair. That's not just. Let me tell you something. Romans 1 says that the whole Gentile world is condemned. It says they have turned away from the light. They have denied that God exists in creation. The Bible says that they are without excuse. Romans 2 tells us that the Jews, in spite of the fact that he had the law and that he had special revelation from God, has failed and is without excuse as a nation. And they are condemned. Romans 3 tells us that the whole world stands accountable for a holy God. And they are low. Granted, there's a remedy following that chapter, but who has God called to bring the gospel? He's called us. Thus, his people are in the cavern of the dam, ultimately, the church is to be blamed. There are people there in hell crying out, why didn't somebody tell me? Why didn't somebody bring the message to me? And many of us are untouched and unmoved by the plight of the Lord. To the extent that we go days, weeks, and months without telling someone about Jesus. We have to make it happen. We have to turn the situation around so we can communicate Christ. That's why the Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. Go therefore. As you go, I know you're going to go because I called you to go. You might say, well, I can't go to overseas. Pessimism. We need not enthrone guilt, but let us sit on the stool. Let us make sure that we have risen up to meet the great challenge that is before us. This is the great emphasis, the missionary. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Moravian. A very good group. But one of their missionary slogans was to win for him the reward of his suffering. Which is based on Isaiah 53. He shall see of the fruit of the treasure of his soul and shall be satisfied. But as obviously the salvation of men. And their motto was, there is no other way that we can gain for the Lord Jesus Christ the reward of his suffering other than by going to men with the gospel or enabling somebody else to go. That's a fantastic concept. He suffered and bled in agony on that cross. And the only way that we can bring to him the reward of his suffering is to win men and women to himself. And he has called us and has given us his great intimate system. Now, while we might not win the whole world to Christ, we have to take the responsibility for not evangelizing the world. God claims his grace. His perspective is real life. We are not thinking biblically unless we think holy and of all men. You know, 70% of the world doesn't even speak English. 70% of the world. So we have to enlarge. We have to enlarge our scope. We have to enlarge our vision. This is what we talked about at the conference in the inner city a few weeks ago. And there was a tremendous emphasis on reaching black people in America. Donovan Chase was there. Tremendous emphasis on reaching black people in America. And we point out that that's good. That's legitimate. But we must never lose sight of the larger picture. There is a whole world out here that needs to be reached. A whole world of people that are lost. And we have to go to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, bring them to Christ, but we cannot stop them. We must disciple them. We must make them committed followers of the Lord Jesus. Discipleship is costly. Jesus says, unless a man takes up his cross, denies himself, takes up his cross, and follows me daily, he cannot be my disciple. He said, if a person does not hate his father or mother, sister or daughter more than me, he cannot be his disciple. That doesn't mean you have malice towards one you love. It means that Jesus is first in our lives. And we can't be the kind of fathers, the kind of mothers, the kind of wives, the kind of sons and daughters that we ought to be unless Jesus is first. Goes on to say, unless a man gives up all of his possessions, he cannot be my disciple. And I simply take that to mean that everything that we have, everything that we own, is to be consecrated to Him. And He says, unless these things are done, person, you cannot be my disciple. He didn't say you couldn't be saved. That's not a criterion for salvation. Those are criteria for discipleship. And these are the kind of people that it takes to win the world for Christ. Committed followers of Jesus Christ. We need people that are committed. And this is what worries me about this younger generation that's coming up. Every now and then you see a few committed young Christians. But they seem to lack the depth and the fervor that characterize some of our older godly men and women. We have to make disciples, which in essence is transferring my life to somebody else. It is more character formation than information. The person becomes what I am. That's very, very sticky. Paul the tell of Philippians, whatsoever you have used to heard, seen, and me do. Practice these things in about 2 7 with you. First, you think that's mighty ostentatious. That's mighty pretentious. Now, what if you got somebody to tell? If I live like you, God will be with me. This man had character. He had a life. And to actually tell someone that emulating his lifestyle would bring a blessing of God upon themselves. Can we say that? That's what he means by make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Recognizing the triune God, the mandatory right into assembly fellowship. The implication is get people saved, get them baptized, get them in fellowship into the local church, where they can grow. Where they can develop, contribute to the overall process of discipleship. Then there is teaching, then preserve all that I commanded you. Christians have to be taught. Christians have to be taught the Word of God. They have to be taught. Young believers have to be taught how to be godly fathers, how to be godly mothers. They have to be taught these things.
somehow or another we think that Christians will just spontaneously develop into people that God expects them to be. They have to be taught. And the Son of God is to be heard preeminently. All that I commanded you. As he said in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, well, they said so and so in the Old Testament, but I say unto you, his authority is to be recognized, even in teaching. Christ is the subject of all preaching. Christ is the subject of which teaching all Christians need to evolve. Then teachers to command us to preach a political message. A certain economic system. Christ is to be heard. And that alone constitutes or will contribute to this overall process of discipleship. And the whole counsel of God is to be the place, not some. He said, all that I commanded you. A lot of things the Lord said we don't like to hear these days. No, we don't like to tell people that they're going to hell. You hardly ever hear that these days. People are going to hell. It's not too much teaching on this subject. All that I commanded you, and finally you said, I'm with you. Matthew 1. Matthew 18:20, he's with us in our corporate meeting. Here he's with us in church. And I submit to you that you will not enjoy the fullness of the Lord's presence if you are a spectator. You must become a participant in this drama of world evangelization and discipleship that's taking place on the stage of the world. You must become actively involved if you expect to experience the fullness of the blessing of His son. You have to be involved in church. Always. All authority, all nations, all that He commanded, He is with always. While situation might look precarious from the global perspective, we need not be of this church. It's my hope and expectation that we will leave this meeting. Reason for the salvation of the lost, and we have reached the new plateau of evangelistic zeal, and we will rise up and meet this challenge before. We can evangelize the world and our generation. I'm not saying that just because some of the others have said it in the past, it can be done. But we, the church, must make a concerted effort to reach the world for Christ. It can be done. It is the only hope of the world. It's the only hope of our nation. As I said last week, a few weeks ago, this is very, very important for us to remember. We must get this in our thinking. God did not commission the black church. God did not commission the white church. God commissioned the church. Christ commissioned His body, and we are one in Him, and together, and only together, can we reach this world for Christ. It is something that must be done. People are dying and going to hell. And when we stand before Jesus on that great and solemn day, we always ask Him, well done. I have done. A well done. Good and faithful. Thank you. And to the joy of God. God bless you. Are you?
wonderful self. As you look at the challenge that you have given, the orders that you have given, Lord, we must admit that we have failed. But we thank you that the opportunity is before us. Challenge is there. You have all authority. You have the right to exercise omnipotence. Your presence is with us as we seek to evangelize the world to Christ, to disciple those who come. But as no person in the cabin of the day without ever at least having an opportunity. Oh Lord, there are so many people dying and going to hell at this very moment. Give us grace to have the kind of vision that we need, the kind of purpose to the kind of vision. How to enable us to meet this task? Can I do this in our own strength? We pray for the world. Ordering on the brink of nuclear holocaust. We pray for the salvation today of all men. Men and women everywhere will come to know Christ as their faith. Pray for the missionaries that have been sent out by this local thing. We'll be with them. But if you lose definitely in the days to come, we'll continue to bless them and be with them, strengthen them for the day. Commend ourselves into your good hand, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray.